Today on the Travel Guys.
While some are hoping to make noisy phone calls on planes, another airline has created a quiet child-free zone. We have details coming up in the travel news.
One of America's premier consumer reporters, Chris Elliott, joins us at 3:15, going to talk about his informational new book, How to Be a Smarter Traveler.
At 3:35, Ben Schlappig is on hand to talk about the changes in the Delta Airlines frequent flyer program and explain the bad news. The number of miles you earn is probably going down.
And in our entertainment segment coming up at 3:50, we talk to the conductor of the Folsom Symphony, going to find out what the community-oriented music man will be doing next.
All that coming your way as we help you become a smarter traveler today on The Travel Guys.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road again. I'm a traveling man. King of the road. Riding on the city of New Orleans.
Chickens, I want a Route 66.
That's entertainment.
Let's go on with the show.
Welcome to another edition of the Travel Guys. This is Tom Romano along with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacations. Alongside me, it's another fabulous, beautiful Sunday, and we've got a radio program all chock full of great information to make you a smarter traveler and entertain you along the way. How you doing, Mark?
I'm doing just fine. It is a pleasure to spend part of another Sunday afternoon with you. You know, when we had that year where we didn't do the program, I don't know about you, but I found myself with nothing to do on Sunday afternoons all of a sudden.
Well, I want to take a moment and thank all of our listeners that have sent us emails and stopped us in our daily lives and told us how much they're enjoying the travel show being back on the air. And I know your mailbag has just been kind of chock full with all of the great questions that folks have sent us. Tell folks how they can do that, Mark.
You can go to TravelGuysRadio.com, the website that had a really bad week last week, but it's back working now again, and you can go there. Not only can you catch anything, connections to anything you hear on the program, but you can also send us a note. You can send us a question, anything that has to do with travel. If we can't get the answer for you, why, we'll try to find somebody who can.
Well, we got a lot of stuff to cover today on the show, and been a lot of stuff going on in travel news this past week. And with that being said, let's get to it. Mark Hoffman now with today's travel news here on the Travel Guys radio show. Mark?
And there we go. Hey, if you thought that it was a bad month for travel in February, if you were traveling around the planet and you had a hard time getting where you were going, then you were not alone. There were over 14,000 That would be 14,000 canceled flights during the month of February. That's more than double the rate last year. It is the highest number of canceled flights ever in the history of aviation in the month of February. So it was not a good week for weather-wise. Also in the airline news, JetBlue, they are the folks who first came up with entertainment in the air in terms of having their own television system in their planes. JetBlue bought that television system and has owned it, has offered it to a variety of other airlines. Now they are selling their live TV for $400 million. Look at that, Tom. An airline made an investment in something and one day turned a huge profit on it. The transaction, once completed, will preserve JetBlue's access to the most innovative in-flight entertainment, says JetBlue's CFO. At the same time, they will benefit from reduced operating costs and capital expenditures in running their TV set. They really do have the best entertainment in the sky, and the best thing about it is that it's free. We told you about a small Asian carrier last year that created a kids-free zone. Well, another Asian carrier named Scoot has created a kids-only section for a $14 upgrade. Scoot passengers can sit within the Scoot in Silence area, a 41-seat cabin prohibiting anyone under the age of 12.
Okay.
If you're really looking for the opportunity for peace and quiet, why, then I'm wondering what happens, though, if you're – does that mean that there are more children in the rest of the airplane, or does that – I'm not exactly sure what's going on there.
Well, you know, I think as time goes on, the airlines looking to be smarter airlines, finding ways to – accommodate people with kids and at the same time make those that don't have kids happy campers at the same time. I think it's brilliant.
And for those who have never traveled across the country or on a flight of 2 or 3 hours with a small child directly seated directly behind you, they don't know the glory of which we speak of. In world travel news, a couple of quick things here. There's an active volcano in Guatemala, which is wrecking havoc around the popular tourist town of Antigua. So if you're headed for Guatemala soon, or if you're headed to Italy, there are really heavy flooding and rains damaged the historic city of Pompeii early last week. But tourists are still able to make their way around. You are advised, if you are headed to that area, to check on things ahead of time. Princess Cruise Lines is putting one of their ships, the Diamond Princess, in dry dock for a huge renovation. If you are a Princess cruiser, why you want to know that. And also, we have a story from last week on the Travel Guys where we talked about, Tom, if you remember, the WestJet pilot who found the note left on the seat by the gentleman who wasn't too happy that he had a female pilot.
Right,
female
right.
Captain,
yeah, and
flying his airplane.
Right, and you can go back to travelguysradio.com and read that.
Exactly. And she found the note on the seat and she put it on her Facebook page and posted it, her comments live. And we won't repeat them on the air here because they are a little bit racy. But because our website had such a problem last week and because 70% of the people who went to the website after it came back live on Monday went to that story, I will mention to folks that if you would like to see that whole thing with the WestJet thing and you tried last week, you can go to travelguysradio.com and see what the female pilot told the male passenger after he left her that snarky little note. And that is your travel news for today.
All right. It is the Travel Guys radio program underwritten by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark, coming up after the break, someone that, you're a big fan of, and particularly you're now a big fan of his new book. Tell folks about it.
Christopher Olivet wrote this wonderful new travel guide, and the great thing about it is that it's not a hardback book. It's a soft copy book. You can carry it along with you, and I highly recommend it. In fact, we probably should try to get a few promotional copies from Chris to give away on the air, but I highly recommend it. It's only $15. You can get it from Amazon, and we'll have details on all that coming up right after the break.
We are the Travel Guys. Thanks for tuning in right here on News Radio KFBK and FM 93.1. We'll be back.
Riding on the city of New Orleans, Illinois Central.
Hello there, I'm Sal Romano along with Mark Hoffman. We are the Travel Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Now, our next guest, there's a good chance you might recognize the name. Perhaps you've read him in the newspaper, seen him on TV, or perhaps heard him here on the Travel Guys not too long ago. Mark, tell me how you and Chris first met.
Well, we're buddies. We've never met in person. We're internet buddies, a couple, 3 years here. And it's ironic, Chris, that we always talk to people about, you know, we'll try to help you be a smarter traveler. And so, Chris, you wrote this book for our listeners here. Your brand new book is entitled How to Be the World's Smartest Traveler and Save Time, Money, and Hassle. And having reviewed it a little bit myself, I can say that it's spot on. Welcome to the program and congratulations on the new print.
Thanks. It's always good to be with you guys, and thank you for the kind words about the book. It means a lot to me.
Even the folks at the Sacramento Bee, it looks like, reviewed the book. Says, smart travelers, adds the Sacramento Bee, heed his advice.
Well, what can I say? It's great. I have a column that runs in the Sacramento Bee, and they reviewed my book and they liked it, and I'm just honored. It's great.
Your book, Chris, is split up into a number of different categories. It's really well organized and well laid out. It covers just every aspect of travel, practically from the time you leave the door till the time you get back. Tell me a little bit about how did you decide to write the book, and how did you decide on the format, and tell us a little bit about it.
Well, it started actually with the travel insurance chapter that I wrote that back in the first draft of it back in 2010. And I was getting so many questions about travel insurance because my website, which is, I hope you don't mind if I give the site out on the air, it's elliott.org, ELLIOTT.org. Every day I have cases that are, you know, some of them are just unbelievable. People, the problems that people get into when they're traveling. And so there are just a lot of questions about travel insurance. Do I need it? What kind should I get? That sort of thing. So that's what I started with. And then I actually had a conversation previous to that with one of my editors at National Geographic. And I said, you know, I keep getting these same questions over and over again. We've really got to do a book about that. And I said, go for it. You should do a book on it. So that's what this that's how that all happened. And, you know, then we just sat down and figured out what the problem areas were with travel. So not just travel insurance, we went through all the individual industries and then methods of travel. So we did car, train, plane. We also did various types of hotels, conventional and non-conventional lodging. And then we also talked about some of the problems that we have a whole chapter on problem solving. And you guys are going to love this. And I know you've already read parts of the book, but the most fun parts of the book are the actual case studies where people contacted me. And a lot of these columns actually originally appeared in the Sacramento Bee, and they involve Sacramento readers and listeners. And I actually answer the question and help solve the problem, too. And it's really great to read those because they just never get old.
Well, let me ask you, Chris, as you did the research and you took all your wealth of knowledge and you put it into your book, and of course you probably ran across a few things that were a bit of a surprise that you've added to your book. What one or two things were the most surprising to you that you found out about travel that you put in your book?
The last chapter is on timeshares and vacation clubs. And what shocked me, honestly, was how many people fall for these timeshares that are of questionable value. They'll like fly down to Mexico and they'll be sitting at a bar and someone will come up to them and offer to buy them a drink. And the next thing they know, they're sitting at a timeshare presentation and they're putting their credit card down and $30,000 out the door.
Chris, you couldn't have known that Tom, man, and I, just after the program yesterday, spent quite a bit of time this last week talking about how we need to have a show with a section about condos and buying condos and stuff like that.
Boy, I tell you, you hit the nail right on the head there.
That is.
I'm going to jump right to that chapter. Unfortunately for me and Mark too, it may be a little late. To make us any smarter, let me ask you this. Do you go in how to get out of one in there by any chance?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah, well, I do, actually. And it's for both, it's the same. For travel clubs, which I consider the more nefarious of the two because they aren't real products, but you have to go in. First of all, don't bring your credit cards if you can. Repeat after me. I'm here for the free stuff. And also, remember to say no. And those guys, they have various levels of salespeople. So there's someone in the who's giving the initial presentation. They have plants in the audience who are clapping and they're responding to the presentation. And these are not real customers; they're actually employees. And then you have a closer. And you have someone else who comes in who is the manager, who is actually the real closer, and they don't take no for an answer. So you just have to remember to always remember how to say no and say as frequently as you possibly can. You're just here for the free stuff, the free dinner tickets, the free whatever it is. There really is no such thing as free, but because you're giving up your time. Right. But just say no, just like Nancy Reagan. Just say no.
That's fascinating. You know, it's almost like a Gamblers Anonymous or Alcoholics.
Oh, absolutely. Anonymous.
There should be a timeshare or whatever.
Timeshare Anonymous.
Yeah. I think I'm gonna start one of those.
Well, and you know what? It's so hard to mediate these cases because once the money is gone, the money is gone. It's really difficult. You've signed a contract where the rescission period is a couple of days at the most, and so your money's out the door, and there really is nothing that you can do to get it back.
We're talking with Chris Elliott on the Travel Guys here. Chris has a new book out about how to be a smarter traveler. One of the things you talked about is that a little knowledge can be a dangerous thing, and that's something we've talked about on this program, about being careful of the online review sites. Can you touch on that just for a moment?
Absolutely. That's actually the first chapter in the book, and a lot of times people will go on a review site like a TripAdvisor or a Yelp. And there's nothing wrong with those sites, by the way, but they'll make a booking decision based on one or two reviews that they read. What they don't realize is that those reviews are not vetted, so you don't really know who's leaving the review. And oftentimes these are either employees of another company or employees of the actual company, so there's an obvious conflict of interest. And so what I recommend in How to Be the World's Smartest Traveler is to actually look at several different data points, cast a very wide net, so take into account these user-generated reviews. And actually, I would say weight them. And they really are not as valid to you as, say, a word-of-mouth recommendation or the advice of a trusted travel agent. those are, or even something you maybe will read in the newspaper or in a travel guidebook. All those things are vetted and they have layers of accountability, whereas a user-generated review doesn't. So get all those data points and then make an informed decision based on all of those data points, not on a single data point. Don't go to TripAdvisor and make a booking based on just one review that you've read.
Chris, thank you so much for your time today. The name of the book is How to Be the World's Smartest Traveler. And it's very inexpensive. You can get the book for $15. A Kindle edition is even less than that. If you go to travelguysradio.com, we'll have a link there. I give this book 5.5 stars. It really is one of the best books I have ever seen for the average guy on the street. If you pick this book up for $15 and you plan a trip and you don't somewhere along the way save the $15, you come back to me, I'll give you your $15 back. I mean, it's that good of a piece. Chris, thank you for your time. We'll get with you again. You have a whole section in the book about why using a travel agent sometimes can be to your advantage, and there's some other things in there that I'd love to spend some time with you on.
I'd love to do that. Absolutely.
Thank you, Chris. Chris Elliott, here on the Travel Guys. Chris, we'll see you in the B. All right, if you're a frequent flyer, collect those points for your airline miles. Well, we've got some news for you. Ben Schlabig joins us. He's our expert. That's coming up after the news right here on KFBK. Welcome, everyone. You're listening to the Travel Guys on News Radio KFBK, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark Hoffman to my left. I'm on my right. And on the phone, our buddy Ben. Ben, welcome to the program.
Thank you. How are you guys doing?
We're doing pretty well. Ben Schlappig, our favorite frequent flyer man, formerly of Tampa, now of Seattle. You traded humidity for cold, I guess, Ben.
I traded nice winters for nice summers, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Ben, let's talk about Delta Airlines here first. They have made some changes in their frequent flyer program. They're giving out less miles. They say that it doesn't impact the way frequent flyer status is obtained. Give us the scoop.
Yeah, so Delta has kind of adopted the Southwest Rapid Rewards model of awarding miles based on revenue. So in the past, you would earn miles based on how many miles you flew. So if you flew a 5,000-mile flight, you would earn 5,000 miles. And now instead they're rewarding miles directly based on the cost of a ticket. So if you purchase a $500 ticket, you're earning 5 miles per dollar. So now you would be earning 2,500 miles. And what this comes down to is ultimately that you end up earning a lot less miles, assuming you don't buy a full fare ticket.
I saw a chart the other day, Ben, which explained, you're right, generally the folks on the bottom of the scale are going to get the short end of the stick, but there are some situations even where fewer miles will be awarded to the real frequent flyer guys who are on the top end of that scale. And of course, now if you don't have a Delta Airlines, well, I guess that has applied any time, if you're flying with one airline, you pretty much want their credit card.
Exactly. Well, that's kind of the funny thing, is that they're not reducing the number of miles you earn with their credit card. It keeps getting easier to earn miles through everything except flying, whether it's, you know, hotel stays, credit card spend, dining. You can earn miles through all those methods, and you'll continue to earn more miles there. But for whatever reason, they don't actually want to reward you for flying with them, what miles were originally intended for.
Do you think is there any particular thinking that went into that that you can glean, Ben, as to why they chose to do this?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, for the first time in at least a decade, the airline industry is actually making money. They're filling planes. Their fares are very high. Delta posted record profits. So ultimately, they don't feel they have as much reason that they need to reward frequent flyers for flying, because they assume you're flying them because of their route network, and ultimately that they can fill planes. So they don't really need to offer as much of an incentive to get people on planes.
Ben, it's kind of the oldest business adage that there is. You know, it's supply and demand. And as the demand is going up and the supply is going down, why then it's you're generally, a business is able to get better prices out of a situation like that. And that's exactly what's happening.
Exactly. I mean, when there's a recession again, we'll see what that looks like then. But I'm sure it'll be the other way around again, where they are begging us to get on their planes and offering huge promotion.
So if people who are silver, gold, platinum, what's the higher level, in a medallion, something like that?
Diamond.
So they say this doesn't impact them. Explain to the guy on the street, explain to Tom.
Thank you.
How, if he's a Delta frequent flyer, why he shouldn't be concerned about this?
Well, okay, what they're saying is simply not true. So you do earn more miles if you have elite status. So, for example, if you don't have status with Delta, you're earning 5 miles per dollar spent. And then the most you can earn is if you're a Diamond Medallion, you earn 11 miles per dollar spent. But even under the old system, you know, if you had no status, you would earn whatever number of miles you flew. And if you were Diamond, you would earn 125% bonus. So unless you're buying, you know, $10,000 transatlantic tickets, you're going to come out behind here, unfortunately.
And at the end of the year, when you're trying to renew your frequent flyer status, Delta is saying you'll still need the same number of actual miles flown or segments flown at this point in time in order to qualify that. But it hardly seems that that will hold.
Yeah, well, that's the bizarre part, Ken, is that they're saying, oh, all we care about is how much you're spending on tickets. But ultimately, you still have to fly 125,000 miles for Diamond status or, you know, less for the lower status levels. But they still want you to fly just as much. They just want you to spend even more money than before. And this is after last year when they added a revenue requirement. So last year, Delta said that if you want to earn Diamond status, for example, which takes 125,000 miles, that you need to spend $12,500. So basically they were saying you need to spend an average of 10 cents per mile. And then this year comes on top of that still. So there's a revenue requirement now. You still have to fly a certain number of miles. And now you're being awarded miles on revenue.
Ben Schlappig is our guest. Ben on the Travel Guys this afternoon. Ben, let's shift gears for a minute. Shift airlines from Delta to United. United has announced that they are going to crack down on carry-on bags, something that's been long overdue. I think most of us who are frequent flyers would agree that we'd like to see the planes get away from the gate quicker and on time. Some folks are saying that this is a money grab. United is just trying to squeeze a few extra bucks out of a few extra bags. What's your take?
It's probably a little bit of everything. Ultimately, airlines do want to have a good on-time record. That's something that passengers judge very closely. And lately, with the number of things people have been carrying on, it's taken, you know, often 45 minutes to board a plane. And obviously, they want to avoid that. So I do think they're doing it to improve their on-time record and also perhaps to get more revenue, because if they can force people to pay to check bags, they win that way as well. So
let me ask you, Ben, you know, here again with the baggage situation and what we've been talking about in regards to accumulating mileage and extra points, who's the leader these days? And you even indicated that that they were looking at Southwest and modeling what they were going to do in regards to their frequent flyer miles and all of that from Southwest. Who is the leader in this category, and who do people, regardless of destinations, who do they take advantage of the most? What's the best deal for the consumer?
Say, as of now, probably in terms of the frequent flyer program, the best deal would probably be American's Advantage program. But that's probably simply because they have not yet created a new program after their merger. So right now, it's still very lucrative. In the past year, for example, Delta and United have both devalued their award charts. So it's taking more miles to book the same award ticket. American has not done that yet, but I would guess that once the merger is complete, they will. So we're kind of chasing a moving target here, but I would say as of now, American is probably the most generous.
Yeah, I think the odds-on bet is that American will probably go to that revenue-based program, certainly for, if not for next year, certainly for the following year, because it makes more sense. And after all, for those of us who have scammed the system for years, buying cheap tickets and getting upgrades and stuff like that, it's a little disheartening because it's going to make that a lot tougher. But the other thing is it's also going to weed out. There are going to be a lot fewer frequent flyers higher up in the ranks, one would think, in the next couple of years.
Generally so. I mean, at the same time, when you think about it, is the passenger that's paying $10,000 for a business class ticket, are they really the ones that are most concerned about miles, though? Because I tend to think kind of that the people that care most about loyalty programs and the people that are willing to spend a decent amount but not a ton to fly would be kind of the mid-range flyers. So, for example, the consultant that flies coast to coast every week, and I think this could kind of shift their business if they're earning miles based on revenue versus miles flown.
Well, it could, or I could just see the guy going in and saying, look, you know, you got to buy this $700 ticket instead of this $500 ticket, and trying to make the case for that when the reality is that what he's trying to do is just get more dollars into his airline bank account. They certainly have made the system more interesting. Ben, are you still doing mileage runs and hopping around the country, or are you staying put mostly now?
I am staying put, or I'm traveling with purpose. I think the concept of mileage running, which is kind of flying for the sole purpose of accumulating miles, I think that's more or less dead, because the airfare is so high, the benefits just aren't as good, the airlines aren't running as many promotions, so I kind of fly when I have to fly, And I still earn status, but it's not as good as it used to be, unfortunately.
Well, you see, it all comes around. See, Ben does it. Others hear Ben talking about it. They do it. The
Too
airlines
many
hears,
do it. Yeah.
sees Ben doing it, others doing us talking about it, and they cut us off.
So Ben heads off
and
to Seattle.
We just have to wait for the next recession.
There you go.
Ben Schlappig with one mile at a time. You can find Ben's blog at boardingarea.com, or you can go to travelguysradio.com, and we'll give you a link so that you can read what Ben writes every day. If you are a frequent flyer, you would do yourself well by taking a look at what he has to say. Thanks for your time today, Ben.
Thanks for having me, Mark and Tom. I appreciate it.
All right. We'll see you at the Frequent Flyer University up in Seattle at the end of April.
Okay, and if you just found us, we are the Travel Guys, here to make you a smarter traveler. More to come on News Radio KFBK.
I'm a traveling man, made a lot of stops all over the world, and in every port I own the heart of at least one lovely girl.
We are not only the Travel Guys, we are also the Travel and Entertainment Guys, and I'm Tom Romano with Mark Hoffman from Sports Leisure Vacation, and it's time for that entertainment portion of the program, and we have a special guest on the line. Mark, why don't you introduce our guest?
Well, Thomas, did you know that there was a symphony in Folsom? I'm going to plead ignorant here and tell you that I didn't even know Folsom had a symphony. And this symphony has been around for 10 years. So now that we've gotten the embarrassing part of the interview out of the way, I am enthusiastic to hear more about the Folsom Symphony. And we have Michael Newman, who is the music director for the Folsom Symphony and is also the conductor. And Michael is joining us on the phone now. Hi, Michael.
Hello, fellows, and thank you very much for having me on.
You're very welcome. Michael, you are about to hit an important date here with the Folsom Symphony coming up. The next symphony that you conduct for them will be the last one. Tell us the story, if you would.
The Folsom Symphony was founded 10 years ago by some business people and some musicians who wanted to form a symphony. Little did we know that after 10 years, the Folsom Symphony has become a very vibrant and very well-known in the community symphony orchestra. So I've been the music director and conductor from day one, and that was 10 years ago. And I've decided, after quite a bit of inner searching, that that this would be my final season after 10 years, and that I would step down from the music director position. The board of directors is kind enough to give me then the title of music director emeritus, so I will still be involved and be very supportive of the orchestra. And a fellow mate of mine, Peter Jaffe, will take over the final concert of from this season as a guest conductor. But in fact, he will then be the new music director starting next year.
Michael, please tell us what it is, who comprises the Folsom Symphony, and where do you play, what do you play, and where can people see you on a regular basis?
Yes, well, we've been very fortunate for 10 years of playing concerts to full houses, or almost full houses, every concert we've done. So we have a very loyal following. We started out before the Harris Center, the three stages, was developed. So we started out at the Folsom High School Auditorium. And then once three stages, the Harris Center was built, and et cetera, we've performed there since it opened. And it's a very beautiful hall. Acoustically, it's very, very wonderful. Physically and just looking at it, it's a very, very special place. And Folsom, I think, is very proud to have such a hall there. And each concert we've done since it opened, every concert has been there.
Wow. And Michael, you also do some other work in symphony work in town. I asked you before we started the interview about the Sacramento Youth Symphony. You have been the artistic director there for 35 years?
Yes, sir. I started in 1979. It was one orchestra at that time when I took it over. It had already been in existence, but it was a very small organization. There were about 50 kids in an orchestra. And when I was hired by the board at that time, I said, you know, trust me, support my vision, and I will grow this organization for you. And 35 years later, we've grown from about 50, 55 kids to now 400. And I've gone on at least 7 international tours with the top orchestra, which is the one that I conduct. It's called the Premier Orchestra. So we've been to Russia, we've been to Finland, we've been to Brazil, we've been to Europe 3 times. So it's a very vibrant organization, and people, young people, come from all over, I would say at least a 50-mile radius. And it's all done by audition, and it takes quite a bit to get into the organization.
Michael, this concert that is at Harris Center for the Arts on March the 29th, tell us very quickly, if you will, just a little bit about that.
Well, I'm very excited for a variety of reasons, but anyway, yes, the program will be the Russian Easter Overture, because I think Easter comes maybe just 3 or 4 weeks or 2 or 3 weeks after this date. It's a very vibrant and big piece. Audiences usually very much love it. We're going to do something a little more funny, the next piece, the Toy Symphony, which is credited to Leopold Mozart, not Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart. But it has some toys in it, a toy rattle and a toy bird. These were little toys that people played back in the late 17 or 18, early 1800s. To make it even more fun, we're going to have some of the board members who are not musicians play those toy instruments. So this should
it should be
a kick, to say the least. And by the way, the Beethoven 7th Symphony is going to be the final piece that I do conduct. And interestingly enough, and this was part of my decision, is the very, very first piece the Folsom Symphony ever played was a piece by Beethoven. And so the final piece that I conduct as music director of the Folsom Symphony will be Beethoven's 7th Symphony, an incredibly wonderful, fantastic piece. So there's some spiritual things going on inside of me in this regards.
You are interested in tickets for, it's called In Celebration of Spring. It's Saturday, March the 29th at 7:30 at the Harris Center for the Arts in Folsom. If you go to travelguysradio.com, we'll have the link to both the Folsom Symphony, so you can see about tickets for that performance, and also to the Sacramento Youth Symphony, so you can find out about what Michael has been up to for the last 3.5 decades. Michael, thank you so much for some of your time today. We really appreciate you joining us, and thank you for all of the work you have done in the cultural arts in the Sacramento community now for going on 4 decades.
Thank you very, very much.
Mark, there's a gentleman who is an inspiration to a lot of folks. I bet he is a real inspiration to those that have studied under him for all these years. I mean, that's a lot of dedication to the Youth Symphony. And
well, it's obvious that when he talks about kids that have studied under him and the people he's been responsible for, I have no doubt that here is a man who has been responsible for a lot of the musical stars that have come out of our region. I mean, for over 3 decades, he's been doing this. So, I mean, really an amazing man. And I really think that we are very fortunate to be able to interview him. And the Folsom Symphony is lucky to have had him for a full decade. And now it sounds like he is going back to his personal labor of love. So good for him. There are not very many people in life who get to do what they enjoy doing most of their life. I am very privileged to be one of them. So it's nice to hear from somebody else who fits into that category.
Once again, we are the Travel Guys here on News Radio KFBK. Mark, I think it's time to reach into your little box there, and let's draw out our Sports Leisure Traveler of the Week to award them a special prize.
Let me give you the box there, Tom, and you'll just pull one out.
Oh, I get to do it again. Okay.
You do, yeah.
Here I go.
Thank you, sir. Okay. And we have Jan Applegate. Jan Applegate, who went on a little day trip up to see the tulips up at Ironstone Vineyards a few weeks ago with us. Jan Applegate, if you hear your name on the radio, call our office Monday or Tuesday. Your $50 Sports Leisure Vacations gift card will double to $100. And thank you for being a Sports Leisure traveler. And hopefully you are a Travel Guys listener. If so, it has served you well today.
Why don't you, last week we did the mailbag, and I know there was one particular question we didn't get to. Do you have it?
I do, and we didn't get to it. Richard asked about the shows being, he and also another gentleman wrote in and said he was an old radio guy, and he couldn't tell sometimes whether he was trying to figure out whether the shows were taped or live, and the answer to his question is yes. They are taped or live. We always try to do all of the programs live if we possibly can. Once in a while, we get somebody who wants to do an interview with us but isn't available between 3 and 4 o'clock Pacific time on Sunday afternoon. It is. Sunday does tend to be a down day for a lot of folks. So sometimes we have to go in and get somebody to set up an interview with us away from the program and tape it and make it a part of the program. But that's just because we feel it's something that really is integral to the show. But otherwise, we try to be live as much as possible. In fact, we have some snazzy new equipment that allowed us to be live from the New York Times Travel Show a couple of weeks ago. And in a couple of weeks, we will be at Road Food Fest in New Orleans live. And then the next week, we will be live from the shores of Maui at the Royal Lahaina Hotel. And finally, at the end of April, we'll go up to Seattle and be a part of the annual Freddie Awards, the Frequent Flyer Awards, and then a Frequent Flyer University session up there. So that should be kind of entertaining, too. So all sorts of things coming up on the Travel Guys.
Look, folks, we want to thank you again for joining us. Don't forget now, visit TravelGuysRadio.com. You can download and listen to all of our previous programs. And each week when we are on, it's a lot of fun to actually dial up TravelGuysRadio.com and follow along with the information and the guests that we have on the program. All right. Well, look, we'll see you next week. Same time, same radio station, 3 o'clock, right here on News Radio KFBK FM at 93.1 in stereo. We are the Travel Guys. Mark, say goodbye.
Thanks for listening. We're the Travel Guys. See you next week.